Well, in 2016, Democrats sold us a line that Republicans were sexist, and that's why Hillary Clinton lost the presidential election. I bought it. I was one of those who thought, oh, yes, America's racist. That's why Barack Obama was opposed. Now America's sexist. They didn't want a woman in president. I legitimately believe that people were just too sexist to vote for a woman. Do you remember the Pantsuit Nation? This was a 3 million person Facebook group that supported Hillary Clinton through the lens of feminism in the 2016 election. I did join this Facebook group, and I watched how people told each other that Hillary's failures were due to sexism and that Trump voters were super ignorant. Well, that narrative is now at play for Kamala Harris. The Pantsuit Nation Facebook group shut down in 2023, but they're back, you guys. They are geared up.
Oh, I just joined it.
For Kamala Harris's pantsuits.
I just signed up for Kamala Harris's Pantsuit Nation.
Well, you have to sort of authenticate yourself in this Facebook group and say that you're going to be kind and you love joy.
I love joy.
You're from a middle-class family.
I'm from a middle-class family. I love joy.
We should start the, I love pantsuits. The pantsuits for white dudes movement.
Well, white suits, that's was disco fever. That's done. Yeah. That's not an original. Okay. So anyone who isn't motivated by these pantsuit ladies is apparently a sexist or a white male misogynist. If you don't buy Kamala Harris as this brilliant and deserving candidate, you're a sexist. Here's MSNBC saying so.
And I think they've got to double down on doing more interviews and serious interviews. Because what I'm hearing from Democratic and Republican business people and a lot of men, and she's got such a big problem with men. I think there's an undercount of the Trump vote. I think there's misogynation in all of this, black and white men. Big problem, but also the business world. They don't think she is serious. They don't think she's a heavyweight. And a lot of this is gender. But she's got to be more specific about her economic plans.
You know,
did you hear that?
To Andrea's point, the gender divide is just so significant. You see the extent to which Harris is winning with women and that Trump is winning with men.
Mm-hmm. It's huge. It's the largest one we've had in modern history. Yeah. It seems to be getting bigger with time. For people who know who they're going to bake for, we know like 80% of registered voters are kind of baked in, right? It's the latest PBS News poll now shows some 20% of folks say they're swayable in some way. 15% say, I think I know who I'm voting for, but I might change my mind. 5% say, I don't know who I'm voting for. But I think with the things they're looking for at this stage of the game, there's no one big event, right, that's going to change people's minds one way or the other. It comes down to the issues.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's do you know how white men and black men, you're misogynistic against Kamala. Like if you're a white man, you're a black man out there, it's your misogyny which is hurting America right now because you won't vote for Kamala.
Right.
You know how disappointed I'd be in myself if I wrote that segment and I had to go home at the end of the day and just realize that I wrote that.
I don't think that was written. I think that was off the cuff. That's how they feel this way.
There's no writing involved in that. That's how they all feel and talk amongst each other.
Right. Well, I would say this is sexism because they are pointing out how the business world doesn't take her seriously because she has no policy of substance, but the opposition to her is sexism. So the opposition, though, could also be the very thing that they just listed. So isn't it sexist to excuse her for that? Because she's a woman. I would say that's sexist. No one should get a pass for not having done the homework, not having an actual plan, but just being put in the seat because they're a woman. They're arguing that she should not be pushed on substance because she's a woman, which is sexist. Now, if the Democrats, who want so badly to bring back identity politics, but it's a losing argument. Now, over the weekend, Elon Musk campaigned with Donald Trump, and this is the kind of rhetoric we saw from a Democratic strategist who hit with a tweet that has over 12 million views so far, saying that between Elon Musk and Trump, they have 17 children with 16 different women between the two of them. Well, if you said that about a woman, clearly that would be sexist, right? So isn't it sexist to say this about men or anyone based on their gender? And what's the point here? Is she saying that they're too promiscuous? Because I thought the freedom to be promiscuous was one of the Democratic Party's main talking points of the campaign, or are they upset that none of those babies were aborted because that's their main thing?
I think they're most upset. Yeah, 17 children. That's the part that really they're like, you know, the Malthusian effort to, you know, get rid of children and really, really control population control in the United States. Like they're upset. They're upset most about the children part of it.
Possibly, but you can't have reverse sexism. Sexism is sexism. So you're hitting out about somebody's parentage of children. If you were to say that about a woman, we would call it sexism. So it still is, even though it's about masculinity. Now, it's not really about masculinity. It's about a type of masculinity they don't like. For instance, last week, Politico took issue with J.D. Vance's beard. They're saying it's too aggressive. It's an opposition to feminist ideals, they say. Okay, think about that for a second as you read this, that it conveys aggression and opposition to feminist ideals. Feminism.
Actually, yes, it does.
No, wait, let me finish this point.
Okay.
Feminism is about the freedom to do whatever you want with your body. So by definition, a feminist cannot say a damn thing about a man's beard. That's anti-feminist. Do you not see the contradiction? Now, I have brought up many times that it looks like he wears eyeliner because he has that beautiful contouring of his eyes. Philip has always said that that's okay. That's the way it's got to be. If he's wearing eyeliner, that's fine. Or if he just has those beautiful
lined... I don't think he's lined, wearing
eyeliner. And Clayton doesn't wear mascara either. He just has naturally long lashes. That's just kind of the way it is. And us women can be jealous about it. But that's what masculinity looks like. It has various forms. So they're saying that the beard and parenting children are the wrong flavor of masculinity. But Democrats want to have this conversation about masculinity, but then not have it because the Democratic stars who are men are hardly winners in this category. Admittedly, I'm going to give Tib Walz a point for being avuncular, because I think he's got that going for him. But who else do they have that represents masculinity? Well, they have Barack Obama. Yes, he's cool. He also is a murderer. They have Joe Biden, who has credible accusations of sexual assault. They have Bill Clinton. They're still dragging him out after they water him like a plant. Many credible accusations of sexual assault, plus Epstein patronage. And now they have... Who is this guy? Doug Emhoff. He's the second
first gentleman.
Spouse.
Second gentleman.
I was going to say wife. Husband of Kamala Harris, who has credible accusations of him assaulting his girlfriend, actually several girlfriends, and impregnating a nanny during his marriage. But yet still, they're trying to build him up as this gold standard of supportive husband as a redefinition of masculinity. Watch MSNBC's Jen Psaki just kind of gush all over his supportive husband role.
Important part or an interesting part of how people have talked about your role here is how your role has reshaped the perception of masculinity. And I'm not sure you planned on that, but you are an incredibly supportive spouse. Has that been an evolution for you? And do you think that's part of the role you might play as first gentleman?
It's funny. I've started to think a lot about this. I've always been like this. My dad was like this. And to me, it's...
Has he always been like that? Because now some of his ex-girlfriends are saying that when they spoke to other men, he slapped them in public several times. There are several accounts of this and people who have actually told their friends, their corroborated accounts, that he has done this. So the Harris campaign has said nothing about this. They will not even address it. Now, at least when Access Hollywood released the tapes of Donald Trump and the grab him by the P word tapes, he tried to explain it as locker room talk. He was forced to give an explanation. Whether you buy that or not, at least it was addressing the issue. So am I saying that Republicans are model masculine archetypes? Of course not. Lots of problematic dudes on the Republican side. Off the cuff, I think of Lindsey Graham. Marco Rubio, warmongers, right? They're not much better. My point is that making this election about gender representation is stupid and a game that neither side should play. Everyone loses that game because it's not a major issue. that Americans care about. I was distracted by this. I said, like I said many times, about Hillary's gender, and I missed her murderous record. So I don't want to talk about gender anymore. I'm only bringing it up because they're talking about it, and it's stupid, and they have skeletons in their closets. Go ahead, David.
And what a smack in the face to all the women with beards.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's 2024. Yeah.
Right.
I was just in Portland and I saw a lot of that.
A lot of beards.
Oh, my
gosh. It's anti-feminist.
Yeah. I mean, it was like Portland, Oregon was like a whole other universe. I mean, it was like, whew.
Well, yeah. Well, do you want a bad political package in a good representation package? You know what I'm saying? Like, she has no policies. She hadn't done much during the last 4 years, but she represents minority groups and liberal states. And so do you want it, right? Democrats will lose this conversation because they are conveniently ignoring their own problematic representation when the bigger issues are obvious: the economy, border security, and funding foreign wars and foreign security. That's literally it. So let me know if you think there's anything here worth talking about masculinity and how it's really the masculine, the toxic masculine that won't allow men to vote for Kamala Harris. Do you see that? Tell me where you see that, if you see that, or is that just something that MSNBC can nod and say to each other and believe as they walk off set in their super ugly shoes?